Madam Clerk, would you read the roll, please? Take the roll.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Best.
Here.
Councilmember.
Whoops, I'm sorry.
Councilmember Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember LaFrance.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Combs.
Here.
Mayor DeVries.
Here.
All members present.
Thank you. If you'd all rise, please. And Mr. Lim, can I get you to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering why.
Our first order of business is the approval of the agenda. We have in front of us the approval of the consent agenda. And what is the council's wishes?
Move to approve.
Okay, Councilman Second. Best moves. Councilman Carrington seconds. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections to the motion? If not, the motion is passed. Communications and appearances, nothing is listed on the agenda. Madam Clerk, do we have any last-minute things?
Nothing at this time is to be presented under this.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll go to reports, and we'll have the city manager's report. And if you have a full packet of agenda, it's on page 41. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Tonight's the first week of the month, first session of the month, so it's a review of the boards and commissions and also the construction report. So I'll cover the construction report first, and that would be page 43. The shared water project is ongoing, nearing completion for the year. The paving was completed by Saturday, October 8th. So the paving work is done. They're still continuing with road construction work and final finishing work on Chugach, Beaver, and Caribou. All the water work is done now. It's just the completing of the roads back to grade. So the 85%, it's probably a little more than that, but that's a safe number for percent completed. Bogard Water Main Extension, we do have an engineering estimate on what we can further up for that project with the remaining funds from our grant. Be more to follow on that for council action as we determine what we can afford with that grant and what we can put off in the future. So that work is still 70% complete. We do have remaining funds that we can expend towards furthering along that project. Airport pavement repairs, that grant used from the state, we used to match for the runway repaving project. We anticipate starting that next year. We're in the process now of going through the pre-work with the FAA, some engineering bid work. So the RFP went out. We've published the RFP for engineering design went out. We're still working with the FAA and the proposers, but there was a notice of intent to award with the four proposers ranked 1 to 4. So we're continuing with that process.
Your Honor?
Yes, Councilman Hansen.
Remind me of that, what that amount, a grant amount is, please.
The matching grant was $400,000.
So the project's supposedly going to cost, what, $5 million? $10 million? So it's, if it's 95%, that's $500,000, correct?
Correct. That was.
So are we going to have a discussion about remainder of where that money is going to be appropriated from?
That's correct. That'll be part of our budget discussions for 2017 if the council decides to move forward with that and appropriate funds to match for the remaining matching funds if we want to go forward with that project. So that'll be part of the 2017 CIP discussion.
So you're going to do engineering out of the grant amount currently, but the project will not have enough money to do in total.
If the decision is not to move forward with that project, then the engineering will be done. And we won't go forward with any repaving at this point.
Does the airport fund have $100,000 in it in reserves to match that?
No, it does not.
Yeah, I think we need to have a discussion soon that within that budget cycle. It needs to be one of the first discussion items.
Grant, noted, okay.
Okay, the rest of the council agree. Anybody have any objections to having the airport paving be the first topic of our budget hearings as we start them this next week? Okay, you have your direction, sir. Go ahead with your report.
Okay, The public safety building repair, there's a change order in the packet tonight for council consideration to change the hydronic heating controls from pneumatic. It was not a part of the original contract. It was assumed that those pneumatic controls would be able to continue to function. They are 30 years old and aren't able to control those the new system. So there's a change order in the packet for later tonight for consideration. And those are, again, grant funds. The public storage building upgrade, that is not something we've started yet. That's a future project. We will continue to keep that on track, but no work is going on, no activity to date. Moving on down, the wastewater treatment lab replacement, that'll be incorporated in our wastewater treatment plant upgrades as we start the work next year. The master plan is complete. And approved, so this will be the last time you see that on the project tonight. The library boiler replacement and the Rennie Tom Flight Service Station are going through the mechanical specs with Wolf Architecture, so we'll have more progress on that as we go forward. That's also included with the interior improvements that was required by the FAA to replace some asbestos abatement, as well as some tiles that hasn't been done in years. The City Hall office renovation, we're not starting that, and that'll be something we carry forward into 2017, as well as the parking lot upgrade. There'll be some limited work this as we go along to finish what's been done on the side of the building, but the majority of that project will be next year.
Okay.
And then the compression sign, the last sign has been installed, and again, this will be the last time you see it on the chart, because that project is completed, has been completed for several weeks now.
And all the council says yay.
There have been citizens that have noted that it's helped. I still hear a lot of noise myself. I'm not sure if that's just downshifting, but it is something that has been noted. It has improved some. I guess it depends on how close you are to the highway. Mm-hmm. So moving on to the boards and commissions, just a quick review. We did have a joint session with the Board of Economic Development, so this report is basically September's notes. So for September, they focused on the 2017 plan and how they're going to move forward, and they also have to review the economic strategy plan next year. And then, of course, they asked, and this new item is they've asked for a joint meeting with the Planning and Zoning Commission for next year as part of their strategic planning update. Parks and Recreation, they approved a memo that they sent to me regarding recreational facility reservation process, and I'm reviewing that to see how we can deconflict any. As people use the facilities more and more, how we can help deconflict that process instead of a first come, first serve, looking how to help ease some of the congestion that may be out there. And they also looked at 2017 for projects, looking ahead. Some of those discussed were wayfinding signs. Last week, the council approved the contract for the plan, and then they're looking forward beyond once a plan's complete. How do we prioritize what comes out of that plan and which signs may or may not go up? So that's, again, looking forward. And they also discussed a desire for a trail along the Gulcana right away between Cope and Fireweed, and their intent to see if that could be done in 2017. Planning and Zoning Commission, they have an action before you tonight. They approved recommending that's actually for intro tonight on the agricultural district to include a definition for the small agricultural event center. I also discussed appropriate zoning might be for selling marijuana accessories. They determined that retail use is appropriate in a commercial district. That unless pending there's further action by the council, they've determined that that's appropriate at this time. They also reviewed two plats for the borough platting board and sent those along, as those tracks were in conformance with the Cedar Hills master plan and the current development standards that are currently in place. The Airport Advisory Commission, they continue to review airport regulations. They did that work back in 2014, and for some reason it didn't get to the council. So it has been 2 years since they worked that. They're reviewing it now, so it is up to date, so that it will be up to date when they bring it to the council for discussion and for action later in likely 2017. And then they're doing their final review of the airport master plan, and we should see it sometime in November. They'll look at it again one final time, the 27th, and it should get to the council sometime in November. They started to look at the fuel flowage fee for that program. because we've had 2 months of revenues from that, but really not enough time has passed since it's been in inception. They're looking to look at it 6 months to determine if it's the how well it's doing, if it's actually doing what we expected it to as far as revenues, potentially going adding more type fuels, or maybe looking at a higher fee. So that's just something that they're considering. But again, they thought it was too early to move forward with that. The proposed budget will be to the council by the 15th. So expect to see that in your boxes shortly. I'll have it for final review by Wednesday. All the numbers are locked in. It's just to make sure the proposed budget book is all in order. And then it'll be available for public inspection shortly after that. And one note that's not on here, in reference to dispatch, I don't want to perpetuate rumors, but I have been told that the dispatch contract may be delayed another month at the borough as they continue to work on their negotiated contract, so it won't likely be on the agenda next week. And if that's the case, I've already been told that, to expect some discussions on extending our contract and what that might look like. So again, my position was we're not a temporary service for the borough. We are concerned about public safety, but at some point in time, they need to treat us fairly and either provide us a long-term contract or figure out how they're going to move forward with what they've got. So we do want to provide public safety, but then again, it's not fair to our people or the city to have our as a revenue stream and as a budget process go in and out on short-term notice like this. So that's more to follow on that, but again, I don't suspect it'll be on the agenda on the 18th at the borough level.
Okay, Councilman's questions, Council Lady's questions to the city manager regarding his report or anything he doesn't have on his report. I have one question, sir. Under the Parks and Recreation, where you were talking about the memo that you got from them regarding recreational facilities reservation process, why wouldn't it be on a first-come, first-served basis? Or did I misunderstand you? They don't want it on a first-come, first-served basis?
It is on a first-come, first-served basis, but it's not regulated, so three or four people could show up at the same time and expect to have a birthday party. So having a reservation system, first people get the few can reserve the system, it might help alleviate some of those conflicts that occur. And so people can look ahead and say it's reserved or it's not.
Okay, because what I understood you to say that it wasn't going to be reserved on a first-come, first-come basis, which...
Right now, there's no reservation, so it is for you to show up.
Well, I don't know. We made reservations whenever we used it. That's not a standard practice then. I mean, people just show up downtown there and start setting up camp, huh?
No, this is for other facilities. The pavilion is already under reservation.
Oh, good.
It's like the Moosman Park, the pavilion area around the soccer fields, those type things don't have a reservation. So
We're
looking at the rest of our facilities so that people can look ahead to make a reservation for some of the other facilities we have, that it's just you show up and whoever has the biggest party wins is what it turns out to.
Good. All right. Thank you. On the second item under the planning and zoning, where they decided that the selling of the marijuana accessories was appropriate in a commercial district. In our commercial district, is there a setback from schools and churches and youth facilities and things like that? Or could this retail space be located right like next to a school or close to a school or child care facility or something?
The zoning doesn't necessarily take that into consideration. There's no setbacks in our zoning for that right now. No, there's not. So if it's in a retail area and the retail area is next to a public use area, then the potential is it would be close to a facility like that.
Okay. Well, if I can have somebody else, well, I guess now that I'm mayor, I don't need anybody else's counsel. But I still would like to have a comment. I guess I'd just like there to be further examination of that. I mean, I do not want a retail spot that's selling next to a playground or a school or something like that. And so I would like to have additional council support for that. But if I can't get it, I will just push through it myself.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to give support to that, and because marijuana is an item that is to be sold to people that are 21 and older, I believe that considerations of a controlled access should also be in that discussion as well.
Okay. something similar to where you go into the store and if you want to buy cigarettes, they're locked up and things like that. Okay.
Yeah, and I'd like to lend support as well for the same reasons. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, good.
Some clarification, if nothing else. That's all I'm after. I'm not after really restrictions more than let's make sure that it's as clear as possible.
Okay. City Attorney, do you have some input?
Madam Mayor, thank you. I spoke to Mr. Best yesterday who had was interested in this topic, and so I did kind of on the fly because I've been running pretty fast today. I was here earlier today and back, and now I'm back again. But I did some preliminary research, and I found a U.S. Supreme Court case on that issue. Haven't reviewed it yet, and I want to review some other cases.
Okay.
But there could be some other specific nuances associated with the marijuana initiative that passed on a statewide level we'll need to look at as well.
Okay.
Vis-a-vis, how does that operate in relation to a home rule municipality such as Palmer, which has a paraphernalia ordinance on its books already.
Okay.
And I haven't done any of this research. This is based on a conversation I've had with Councilmember Best.
Okay, thank you. So,
thank you.
Any further council comments or questions? If maybe then when the city attorney has prepared his work, we could have it listed as an action item on the council's agenda. So if the council wanted to take either action or refer it back to planning and zoning, we could rather just than just having it under his report. Okay? Alrighty. Anything further on the city manager's report? Anybody has questions, comments, anything? Okay, thank you. Mayor's report. My standard procedure will be that I will have a written report. Of course, I'm going to start off with one, not tonight. Oh, city clerk. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. If you want to go that time.
No. Yours is probably more important than mine, so go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to start off with something that's pretty important, is that I do want to let everybody know that David Fuller has officially been sworn in, so he is truly a council member, able to vote. But if it pleases the mayor, I would love to do that, make sure that we have everybody witness the oath of office, if that's okay?
Yes, yeah. So we'll stand at ease for just a minute while they come up front, and then we'll continue to record the meeting. We want to be sure this sticks. We're giving it to you twice here.
I, David Fuller.
Do solemnly swear.
To support and defend.
The Constitution and laws.
Of the United States.
Of America.
The Constitution and laws.
The State of Alaska.
The Charter and Ordinances.
Of the City of Palmer.
And to the best of my ability.
Honestly, faithfully, and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
And obligations.
As council member.
Of the City of Palmer, so help me God.
Okay, thank you. We'll wait till the clerk returns to her seat for her the rest of her report.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
While she is walking, though, I would like to say that that was a great reenactment in her report of an earlier event.
Yes,
just
right.
So Eugene understands.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you very much, Mayor, for suspending the rules there and letting us do that. I think it was important to make sure that everybody got to witness the oath of office tonight. So, in your packet, I did hand out, had in your place, my written report, and I have also placed copies over on the board over there, so they're available for the public.
Good.
The monthly board and commission attendance spreadsheets are enclosed and attached to my report. They're available there for you to review. The AML conference is going to be held November 14th through the 18th. So I'd like to take a real quick survey from council tonight on who will be attending. And when you say I'll be attending, if you can please let me know if you're intending to attend the Monday newly elected official. So I know, Mayor DeVries, you are planning on attending, but I don't know, how about the newly elected?
No, I'm not going to attend the newly elected. And I will be there for the mayor's meeting on Tuesday. On Thursday, I am not able to attend because the Lions will be having their statewide convention here in town, and they've asked me to address that. And I feel that that is a priority over AML for that day. And also at noon that day, my job at Job Corps is having a community luncheon for community members. Probably will be another 50, 60 people there. And so I feel that, that I should attend that also. My one concern is I want to be sure that there is at least one person Friday morning that will be at the business meeting to vote on behalf of the city of Palmer. So,
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
If I may, I will be attending the business meeting because I am an outgoing board member, and that's something that I want to bring to council's attention at the next next time that we have a meeting, is I'd like to have it put on the agenda for AML, kind of a formality of us to discuss about anybody that we would like to move forward for any recognition, and also council members that might be wanting to be on the board or be a vice president of the board as well.
Okay, so I'm sure there's no objection. Councilman Combs gives, so you'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting. And thank you for bringing that up. That's one of the things I had under the mayor's report, was wondering about submitting something for the city of Palmer. You know, we've formed our Parks and Recreation Cultural Board, and they've been moving forward with many items that I think could set a standard for some of the other communities in the state of Alaska, and it would be nice to be, to see if the city of Palmer could be recognized by those. So I'm glad you brought that up, and it'll be on our agenda for next time then. Okay. Okay. Does anybody else have any comments about or want to talk about when you are going to be attending AML?
Go through the list. Is that okay?
Do you need a definitive answer, like during this time? Do you want us just turn the sheet back in to you? What?
If you can, I need to know by the end of this week, for sure.
Not a problem. I intend to attend Tuesday through Friday. I can be at the Friday morning meeting. So that should pretty much cover it. I'm not going to go to the newly elected thing, so. although it's always a great chance to see Mr. Gaddy. So, but that's my intentions at this time. It's on my calendar to be there at that time.
Good. Thank you. And I apologize for spelling your name wrong there.
It's okay.
Okay. All righty. So the rest of the council will be in touch with you then.
That's right.
Okay. Anything else on your report?
Just a friendly reminder that the election is done, that was certified yesterday. So we have until October 19th for political signs to be picked up and removed. There's 15 days after the election per our code that all of that needs to be picked up. I will be sending an email out to all candidates who filed a nominating petition so that they could be reminded. Just a friendly reminder, pick them up. You have until October 19th. Also included here in the report is upcoming meetings. There's a list of what is occurring between tonight or next Tuesday and the end of the year. Please note there have been some updates and changes to those. And if anybody is still using a hard paper packet, I just wanted to let you know I was talking with Mayor DeVries, and this is a notebook that I use, and the mayor has asked me to put one together for her. Basically, it's creating tabs. I am more than happy to do that for any other council members who would like to have a notebook to keep their packet and everything in. I'll supply that to you in your inbox, and then every week when you get your packet, it'll be conveniently there to tab through each section. Because we are talking about ways to help reduce paper. We we heard, staff definitely heard, that you guys would like to see that. And one of those ways is removing these cover pages that are in the packet, the things like
reports and
that says reports, public hearing, things of that nature. So moving to sustainability, I'm very proud. Thank you very much for suggesting that. But this is one way. Let me know when you let me know about AML if you would like a notebook, and I'm more than happy to provide that to you. Besides that, that is all I have, and I'm available for questions.
Okay. Does council have questions? Yes. Councilman Combs.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. No questions. I would like to, it was said last night, but we have a few people here this evening that weren't here last night. I'd like to reiterate how smoothly I felt that the election process went, and I'm very, very pleased with the professionalism of the city clerk and the deputy clerk. They have just been tremendous. I know that they worked a lot of hours. And it still went very, very well, particularly for our city clerk's first time around. So thank you again for that.
I certainly second and third that. I thought it went very nice last night. And so any other questions or comments to the clerk? While we are talking about things that come to the council and saving on paper and stuff, we get the financial report from the finance director. And I was wondering how many of the council, and there may be something in our code or charter that requires that we get it every so often, I'm not sure. So if maybe you could check on that and then maybe get a count of the council that actually want that. The items that I look at, of course, are the sales tax and the expenditures and the revenues. I very seldom look at the balance sheets, and so I don't know what the rest of the council, but I don't know if it can be printed front and back. Right now it's just printed on the front sheet. Other council people, and I'm sorry, Councilman Fuller, you haven't seen it yet. It's probably about that thick, I think. And I think there is something. It seems like to me, you know, when I was treasurer, we had to give it out every so often to the council. You have some comments, sir?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't think it's monthly. We just provide that as a convenience. I'll go back and check and see what the requirement is. Okay. But we can also look at providing them electronically. So if folks don't want a paper copy, I'll have to see why we're not doing that. But I think it's just legacy. That's how we've done it. So
yeah.
But if it's less frequent than a month, we can do that as well.
Right. And I think it goes on said that whatever the code requires, we certainly want to follow that, and we want to make it available to the public, and it probably would be even made more to the public if it was done electronically and was put on the website, because normally it's just handed and put into our boxes, and we can maybe accomplish two different things at the same time that way. So, okay. All righty. Now my report. As if I haven't been giving it. As I said, I've asked the city clerk to reserve a page in the packet, so there will be a page for a written mayor's report for every council meeting, which will go, of course, onto the website. And my office, I think, is finally done and with the photographer. And so, but I wanted to also to, although it will continue to be a mayor's office, I want to extend it to the council. If there's ever any time when you feel it would be more appropriate for you to meet some of your constituents, or you want to set up a time to meet, you're certainly welcome. When I get the key, I'll be sure that there's also a key in the clerk's office. And so it will, as I said, be the mayor's office, but it'll also be the council's office if there's ever, and I will try when I plan on coming half hour, 45 minutes early to all of the meetings, and so the doors will be open, so if there's some last minute thing or you want to meet somebody here privately or something like that, so the office will be, and I will be getting a cell phone, and I will be going back to the mayor's number that has been used in the past for the cell phone. So that way, if there's any question about public record or anything, and the clerk is working on that, and when she gets that, the phone that rings in there now, the landline, will be automatically forwarded to my cell phone. And then I think the clerk has also worked on business cards. I should have those shortly. Oh, I have them, so we'll pass those out at if we have a break or after the meeting, or I'll be sure that some gets put in your box, and so you'll have those available also. We talked about AML. I've been busy working on boards and commissions, as you know, the board normal reappointment time is in April, so that everybody does take over the 1st of November. And so that will be on our agenda. I have all of them selected except for three that I'm waiting for callbacks on, and I'll have those by Thursday. And the plan that I have to present them to you will be, it'll end up being a few papers. We've talked earlier about cutting down on the paperwork, but maybe not for this. We will. It's my understanding I would like to have them under action items and not under the consent agenda, so that the council could feel free to talk about them without pulling them from the consent agenda and, you know, causing, you know, any kind of embarrassment to somebody that would be allowing themselves to be appointed. And so it's my understanding, the clerk and I are still working on this, but be my understanding there will be 1 a.m. to appoint the members to the Airport Advisory Board. And not only will you have my selection, but you will also see who else has applied for that appointment. And that'll be done with all of the boards and commissions. I will go to my first borough-wide manager and mayor's meeting on the 20th, and we'll be going to Houston. If any of you have any questions or comments that you'd like me to bring up, I think it's probably best if we send everything through the clerk so we don't have any problems regarding, you know, so if you feel like that you want me to talk to the rest of the managers or the other mayors in the borough regarding the situation in Palmer, just give it to the clerk, and then I will take it and then I'll relay back to her what was discussed, and she'll send it out to you. I'll make you some extra work here. also, I plan on going out into the community and having some listening sessions. The deputy mayor and I did talk 3 seconds last night, saying there might be some times when maybe we would do them together. And if you would like to do one with me, I would glad to do that with you. Any, you know, time we'd just go to a public place, or we would open up, advertise that the mayor's office and city council chambers would be open, you know, at a certain time, and people could come here or whatever, or you can do them yourselves. And I encourage you to do them yourselves as well as I'll be doing them myself. I have reached out, besides the boards and commissions, I did ask one of the things that Delana had mentioned on or his recommendations to carry forth was the REI gas company that had presented some slides, shows preparations to the mayor's and the manager's meeting. The city manager was kind enough to pass along to me those slides. And then, if you can remember the night when Governor Parnell was here, he started talking about that project, and he said that REI was just one of several companies that was interested in that. So I don't feel comfortable in bringing forth a resolution or a letter of support on behalf of the city to you. If you would like to hear from REI or any of the other companies, I would prefer that we would have them come under communications and appearances, present their report. When a letter or a resolution comes from the city of Palmer from the council or from myself. I want it to mean something. It's just not the fact that we did it because somebody asked, but we know behind us that it carries weight and that we have credibility when that is presented in the marketplace. So I reached out to them. I did also reach out to Tim Sullivan. As you know, he's the PR guy for the railroad, being sure that the meeting that we had regarding getting the train back in town has not dropped through the cracks. And he said today that he is working with Jeff Johnson and Denise on that. And I asked him about a specialty train that apparently had come to town. And I will say I was a little bit rebuffed about that maybe I was meddling some of their business. But if they're asking us to do a business plan in order to be able to return the train, then we need to know how much and how many times they're making money off of that track and how often that comes in order to be able to justify that business plan. And so I did not get a chance to talk to Jeff or Denise after I talked to Tim Sullivan, but I just wanted to let you know that meeting is bringing some results and some people are moving forward with that. Also, I reached out to Bill Ingersoll, who has 2.5 acres in the Matt May complex, the subdivision, and he had just gotten back from vacation. He's asked me to give him a couple of weeks for him to recoup his office, and then he and I will be getting together because I believe he does have some plans for that area. And again, I will, if he has plans and he plans on moving forward, yeah, we'll certainly ask him to come and to speak to all of the council and do it in a public setting. But I want to make myself and introduce myself to him. He had been, he said he'd been to the Valley years and years ago and spent some time with Senator Cotulla. So when I see him, I may easily recognize him, but I don't remember the name right now. In the governor's office, sir, at the governor's office, and I will be having lunch in the next couple of days probably. So if there's any things that the council would like to bring forward to the governor's office, be sure and let the clerk know. And I think that is it. Does anybody have any comments or questions for me or things? Yes.
Yeah, I do. I have one thing, and that is on the now that you'll be a part of creating the agenda on the consent agenda. Just like tonight, I have grave concerns about the amount of stuff on the consent agenda as opposed to not being discussion items.
Right.
For instance, we have a tractor that wasn't budgeted.
Okay.
Yet is approved, and basically it's because it's approved with it has the funds are available within an account
budget.
Basically, but we still have a quarter of a year left to go, so that's concerning to me. So basically, philosophically, I think we need to make a determination on what's an agenda, a consent agenda item, and what's a discussion item for future. And so, you know, just in this, to me, this is an easy one. You have basically a tractor that's not budgeted, or you know, capital equipment that's not has been budgeted, and there are funds theoretically right now because you still have a quarter of a year to go, and so you use up those funds, and then at a future date, you may or may not need some type of budget amendment to be able to have enough money to contractual services.
Yeah.
We still have a quarter of a year left.
Okay.
So I think philosophically you need to kind of make a decision on what ought to be a discussion item. What you know, if it's a routine budgeted item with ample funds within a, you know, a construction account or some other equipment account, then by all means, maybe it's a consent agenda item. But when it's of the nature I just mentioned, I think it needs to be a discussion item.
Okay.
So I hope that you...
All right. Well, first of all, let me ask you, would you like to make a motion for reconsideration?
No, we can discuss it? I don't. I just hope we don't have to give a budget amendment to the airport enterprise fund when it's already in a deficit of $120,000 or so and have
Okay.
So, but in the future, I think we need to. Okay.
What can I pursue this a little bit more and ask you, like, what about on the professional services and things like that? Do you, the change orders?
Well, the change orders is to me that was, if there's, but that's a hit or miss too. I mean, obviously the amount would indicate that probably, you know, it's okay, you know, but if it's a larger amount than that, I think it needs to be, you know, before us.
Okay.
Most change orders that I've been associated with over the years have been before us. You know, if a contract is changed, then they have been before us. So.
Okay. All right. Further council comments? How does some of the rest of the council feel?
I'll concur with that comment.
Okay. Okay. So maybe we could have. Well, let's just do it broad and say all the action memorandums need to come under the business, under like new business, or under action memorandums would be on I on the second page of the agenda. And then if we find that we're getting bogged down with that, then we can relook at it. But let's just make a clean sweep of having them all there for right now, and then we can adjust it later on. So any objections to that? Or is that too broad? You're frowning. Is that? I'm sorry, sir. Okay. Councilman Best is frowning.
Is the previous meeting minutes under consent agenda, though?
Normally in the past they have been, yes, but we didn't have any tonight.
Correct. And so that's why I appreciate the consent agenda because it does streamline things that are just pass-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to utilize the wording that you said to just sweep them all under.
Well, action memorandums, I said.
Okay, so just action memorandums.
Yeah, the introduction of the ordinances, because we will be dealing with them lately, no question as far as I'm concerned, on consent agenda, right? Is there any objections for any of those being,
If I may, Madam Mayor, small things like action memorandum 16068 with authorizing city manager to purchase equipment for the protocol telephone system, and that's a pretty simple one. I'm not necessarily certain. So I don't know.
The city manager's going to have fun trying to weed through this, I think.
Well,
why don't we leave it up to his discretion, and then if we don't agree with his discretion, we shall tell him.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be a quick, I mean, if nobody has any questions for the manager when it does come up, then it will just move through fairly quickly. But I do appreciate the idea that there is some efficiencies that can be found in this. So to be efficient, I'll just keep my mouth shut right now.
Councilman Carrington, and then I'll recognize you, sir.
Madam Mayor, I'm wondering if in our budget discussion, maybe we should have a discussion with our manager about realms of cost, of what kind of expectations we have. I know there's some things in code right now, but I'm thinking maybe it's time we revisit them, but also figure out how to approach it when it comes to a consent agenda versus, I think we should have that discussion and kind of explore it some.
Okay. Go ahead. Did you have some requests?
I misinterpreted what Councilmember Hansen said, but I think his request was that you, as your part of your input to this, is help us sort out what goes here.
You're going to put it back on my shoulder.
No, because this is the clerk and I build this agenda, and then and we see how it goes. You'll see things here. You've been on the council longer than I've been city manager, so I think your experience would help us do that. And if it gets to the point where we're still not seeing.
Okay.
We're seeing too much stuff here. I mean, this is a pendulum swing. Part of the discussion that we had earlier was to streamline some of our actions was let's just get them to the consent agenda, and we don't have to waste time with banging the gavel and having all the things we're doing. So this is – maybe I've gone too far, and I recognize that. But, again, this also kind of ties into what Councilmember Carrington mentioned, having the budget – part of the budget discussions maybe separate is what is the authorized limit for me to be right now. It's 15,000 in contracts under, I believe it's 50,000. So there's monetary limits there that I can't do because of the way our code's set up, and maybe we change the code. And this is kind of an attempt. If you're seeing dollar limits here, dollar amounts here that you're not comfortable with just passing on the consent agenda, then that sends a signal to me that then I shouldn't be adjusting at requesting code changes that you're not comfortable with to begin with. So it's going to have to be a discussion on where we it's an ongoing process. I think the first step is the mayor's input to the consent agenda is the first piece, and if the council's not happy with that, then we can go forward. From the staff point, it's the same amount of work for the staff to put this together, whether it's on the consent agenda or not. What it does save time is here tonight, and if there's no discussion, then there's still the time that we have to go through the agenda. So that's what we're looking at. So from a staff perspective, we still have to do this. We still have to prepare the AM. We still have to do all we have to do to get it on the agenda. The only time savings for having it here is at the table. So that's, again, from an administrative standpoint, it's not efficient for the staff, whether we do it this way or not. It's just how can we make the meetings more efficient. So I understand the direction we're going. And my recommendation would be let us
massage it some ourselves.
Work through our agenda setting and see how that goes. And then the next step would be just put everything back under new business.
Okay. Is that agreeable to you?
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right. All right. City Attorney's report.
Madam Mayor, thank you. I'd like to welcome all the returning members and congratulate you on your election to the mayor. Councilmember Carrington, welcome Councilmember Fuller. Look forward to working with all of you. I hope that you enjoy your time on the council. Also on the AML, I'll be teaching the newly elected officials and the clerks. So I'll be giving presentations to the clerks and the newly elected officials Monday and Tuesday, which is always fun for me. I have a very good time doing that. And so maybe I'll see some of you there. And I also serve on the AML board, so I'll be there off and on throughout the AML meeting. Good. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. You're always a great contribution to AML. I appreciate that. Very much. Okay. Any questions on the city attorney's report or comments? Okay. Alrighty. Audience participation is now open. 3 minutes for an individual, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Good. You're very efficient.
Well, were we having people leave on me? That was quick. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I live in the Madison Valley. I follow the public process. The public process is done appropriately. The decision made by the governing body is more likely in public interest. As you're aware, my involvement in attending meetings came about again and returned April 4, 2012, the day after the election in Anchorage, where reports were by members of the public in Anchorage that there was, they went to 3 different polling precincts and couldn't get a ballot to vote. Later, more than 40% of the polling precincts ran out of ballots, even though they printed enough. So that's when I started my investigation of public process, open meetings law, and separate state law, providing a reasonable opportunity to the public to be heard. Now, I've attended a few elections. I'm finishing my fifth year, starting sixth soon, with Anchorage. Third year with the borough, cities, and so forth. State, APOC was yesterday afternoon, It's been very busy. But the fact is, I know it's hard to believe, and I have declared illegitimate elections by Anchorage ever since the April 3rd, 2012 election. But in some significant respects, how Anchorage handles their election is much more appropriate than what I've witnessed by the 3 cities, Palm, Wasilla, and Houston, and the borough. One key part is this. Before the certification of election, all 3 cities and the borough fails to provide an appeal process for a vote being disqualified. In Anchorage, they allow that. They have the Anchorage Election Commission. And then their letters are sent out. And before that that election report is provided to the assembly, there is that appeal. But instead, what we have here is a fast-track process. And the end result is those individuals have not had their right to appeal, and letters go out when? After you certify the election. With all respect, you're not alone. City of Wasilla, City of Houston does it, and the borough does it. The other key thing is, that stands out is, you do advertise to some degree to provide observation by the canvas board, but it wasn't on the website for this election. There was some confusion. Also, another thing is, you're fast-track moving to have the certification on Mondays. Palmer, Wasilla, and Houston, all in one evening. Definitely couldn't hit all of them last night, but you knew I was at probably two of them. And Wasilla asked, why are we so honored? As the mayor said there, I flipped a coin. That's what I said. But the end result is, this: why is it that just a... Unfortunately, not a reasonable opportunity for me to continue on that subject.
Okay, thank you.
State law says you should have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Okay. Audience participation continues. Is there anyone else from the audience that would like to come forth and address the council on any matter? Okay, seeing and hearing no one, we'll close audience participation. We're now turn to public hearings, resolution 16-027. This had been on our agenda before. We do have a motion on the floor. We had asked for a report, and the city manager has provided that in a typewritten response, and that was included in the packet. Councilman Hansen, I think you were the one that had some questions. Do you have further questions, or does any of the other council people have questions or comments on resolution 16-027? Go ahead, Councilman Best.
I'm trying to remember what the questions were. So there was some concerns as though that the public wasn't aware of it. There was also ideas that part of the we didn't get a new estimate or something like that. I'm trying to remember what the questions were the council had.
The two that I remember, which the city manager has replied to in his memo, was on page 54. The second paragraph, where it talks about the fact that the contractor had entered the property without any notice to proceed, and had, in the property owner's mind at that time, damaged that property, and we were open to some litigation. I think if Councilman Hansen, I remember what his question was if there was ever any follow through regarding damages, or did the city of Palmer just proceed? So, was that your correct?
Well, there's a number of questions, but okay. Are we going to have another public hearing first?
Or did you want a staff report first before
no,
we open the public
I'm
hearing?
Good. I'm good with this, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. This is the second public hearing on resolution 16-027, authorizing the negotiations and sale of a 6.908-acre parcel of land located at 3854 South Glen Highway to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in accordance with the Palmer Municipal Code 3.20.080D for the amount of $165,000. Anyone would like to come and testify?
Here we go again. Okay. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. My comments are in reference to the public hearing here tonight. It's noted as a second public hearing. But let's be more frank on exactly what this second public hearing is. You called for a second public hearing after a situation when the previous public hearing had little or no information on what was going on. And when you closed public hearing, you started having your opinions, and then you called for a second public hearing. Whereas end result, you prejudiced the proceedings of this item. You really need to reintroduce this item fully, because what we have here is a great deal of information that wasn't at the first public hearing, should have had, and this is what's it dated? Just a few days ago? Should have been allowed more time. But most important, I said this in the previous time, is the public should hear your questions. You have a right to ask questions. But the fact is, you're holding a public hearing, and then you're going to ask questions to staff, and then the public can't respond to that. Same old problem. So I encourage you, with all due respect, I hope this chair, doesn't follow the lead of the previous chair, that before closing the public hearing, you ask if there's any objection, and that allows a time for reconsideration, reintroduce this item, because you see some numbers in here, by the way. Ooh, 1:28, I'm going good here. But you see some numbers in here, the public needs to have a little look at this item. And what is the danger of going away from fast track for careful review analysis by both you and members of the public? So I encourage you to not close public hearing, to have this reintroduced for introduction, and then hold a real public hearing with the proper procedures instead of this going back and forth. And when Councilmember Hansen had said had no problem waiting for staff reports, he saw me in the back by shaking my head. And in response, my shaking the head is, the public needs to hear from that staff so we can have our say before you have your say. Thank you. Oh, wait a minute, 30 seconds, I'll use that. What can I say? Oh, yeah, a footnote. I have addressed these issues on this one, I remember, and the Frontiersman, I'm on subject here, but I couldn't help but note in the report from the Frontiersman, they seem to have difficulties having the public have their say in what was really happening, and it was in reference to this item and others. In both the City Council meeting of Palmer and Wasilla, they seemed to keep me out of the picture, and then had the appearance in closing comment that you're doing something right. But in reality, they're failing to realize is the public pushed you to try to do something right. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who care to testify on Resolution 16-027? Anyone else? Does the council have any objections to us closing the public hearing? Okay, public hearing on Resolution 16-027 is now closed. Council, it's before you for your action.
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilman Best.
So in the new documentation that was provided for us, there was a note in there, note 5, on the memorandum. And it talks about in 2005, the entire piece of property was valued at $326,000.
Right.
So it was appraised at a much higher rate, and that's why we purchased it at that rate. So I'd like to understand the justification for the appraisal to have dropped as dramatically as it has. The state did not believe that it was their assessed price at that time was that high, but the appraised value. And so again, here we are sitting at a low number assessment, but I'd like to see the appraised value. So. I'm not settled on us accepting this offer from the state yet.
Okay. You have some comments, sir?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So 10 years ago, there was two questions, I think, asked. There were two questions besides having an additional public hearing. One was, how did we purchase it at 326, which really actually was 352 with associated costs? How did we get to that price, and then what happened to the contractor that actually mowed the trees down? I could find nothing on the contractor portion in the files on what happened to the contractor, or if he was, if that contractor was sued by the landowner. So that piece, there's no information available on what the outcome of that was. In the research of the negotiations for that piece of property, the initial appraisal that was done, the value was $115,000, which is in paragraph 3. Uh-huh. And that was the initial offer. Actually, the first appraisal was paragraph 2, $101,000. There were other negotiations ongoing in the surrounding area, the Springer area, and there was a decision made to offer those folks $16,000 per acre. So that was then offered in the negotiations with the property owner for this property, that same value, which then took it up to $115,000. They counteroffered for $1 million. Later in time, the negotiations, they came back with $495,000. And then in August, that's when the trees were mowed. I don't have any indication on why there was another appraisal done. There was a retrospective appraisal that appraised that value after the trees were done, that came up with a value of $326,000. That was part of litigation that was ongoing, negotiations that were going on with that. So that's how that price came to be. The city did offer that property up for bid within a week of acquiring that property for the assessed value of that retrospective, and that's what was stamped on the appraisal for that piece of property, and there were no bids at that time for that property. The $165,000 is based on appraisal that the state commissioned. So that's where that price, that's where the $165,000 in the packet that they provided us for their offer. The assessed value has never changed, even from the time. It's changed over time. Back in 2005, it was between, I think the letter says $50,000 or $60,000. And then today it's assessed at $97,500. So the assessed value hasn't gone up drastically over time either. So the reason we purchased that, in my opinion, the reason we settled and asked for another negotiated or another appraisal was because of the litigation that was ongoing. That was the last property in that project. The notice to proceed was not given, but damage was done to that property. So based on the minutes from that council meeting that was approved, both of those items come out, and that's why we purchased for that property. The retrospective basically changed the nature of that property from what it was as a residential to a commercial piece of property, and that's why the value jumped. The comparables that were used for that retrospective were not the same ones used for the original, and there's notes in the file that the original appraiser stood by his comparable his comps that he originally used for that piece of property, and then the retrospective, which happened later in the year, that used commercial properties that were either larger or in the area. So that's how the retrospective appraisal came to be. But again, there's no notes that clearly identify what the litigation was, what the comments were. It's just the appraisal, and then a couple of letters between attorneys is what I found.
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilman Best.
So the current assessment, is that at residential level or is that at commercial level?
The assessments from the borough and the appraisal that we have is as a residential, because that's what's on the property and that's what surrounds the property.
Are there comments or questions either on the staff report or general? Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman LaFrance.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Uh-huh. So, I mean, did we then pay that $352,000 to avoid litigation? I mean, is that the long and the short of it?
That is my assessment 10 years later, based on the minutes from the council meeting and then some of the attorney notes that were downstairs in the file.
Your Honor?
Yes, Councilman Hanson.
Well, I think you're right. We did pay a certain amount of that to avoid $10,000 to $25,000 a day in potentially cost. However, I remember the meetings, and they also talked about we're not going to get hurt on this piece of property. You know, there's gravel that could be potentially mined. Anyways, So it was sold to us as, you know, we're not going to get hurt. And the bad thing about the whole thing is it's not grant funds. It's coming out of the general, or it came out of the enterprise fund. And basically, you know, it really, like, I think it was Best last time said, you know, it's basically a loss of $185,000, you know. And so I just want to make sure that we're gonna get the best deal we can from the state. I mean, this is their contractor. This is their appraiser for their project, you know, that I know because they're doing one for me. And so I'm just wondering if you believe that we need to get our own appraisal of the piece of property and counter their offer of $165,000, number one. And the other thing, are there other entities that the DOT is dealing with on the right-of-way acquisition? Are there other government entities? Because I'm not buying this AIP. We don't qualify for the AIP because, you know, that's a sales incentive that they're offering to everybody except government. And how did they derive that policy? So, I mean, that's another question. The AIP, the incentive to sell within 90 days, is that a policy of theirs? Is that, I mean, the federal government allows them to be able to offer this premium for the property, and what made them determination that, you know, do you have any idea? Do you have any background on that at all? Or they just told you, we can't offer it to you?
Through the mayor, that was what I was told, that the government to government does not qualify for AIP. So I can do further research on that and check and see if there are other agencies. My recommendation at this point would be if the council's not, I don't know if comfortable is a word with this, if the council's not satisfied with this amount, personally doing my research, the 326 I don't know is necessarily the right amount. Back then, there were some other considerations for that negotiation. If the council directs me to have an appraisal done so we can get another assessment on this, that is fair. We're not on the 90-day gun for the AIP program under this offer, so we're not. It's not like we would lose something by having another appraisal done. So that would be another course of action to take tonight. I don't know how much more the value would go up or down based on where it is, but that is an option.
Comments, questions from the council? Further discussion? Oh, sorry, Councilman Hanson.
Well, I think that, I mean, depending on what the cost of the appraisal is, you know, I mean, if we get 20 grand and the appraisal costs us five, you know, here's our appraisal. They're gonna look at it and say, okay, that's right, you know, we'll go with that. Just from the history that I have. So I think we need to evaluate what the cost of the appraisal would be and what the potential upside is. I mean, because I think we're really taking it. We're getting hurt at 165, considering we pay 350, you know. And it would be different. I guess if you bundle all the funds, it was purchased with grant funds, right? So I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe somebody smarter than me can talk.
Rick, go ahead, City Attorney. Go ahead, Mike.
Madam Mayor, thank you, mm-hmm. Council. Councilmember Hanson just raised an issue to examine in my mind when he mentioned how did they derive the AIP? Where does that come from? And there's jurisprudence that suggests that if you have a policy like this, is it a regulation? And there's definitions of what constitutes a regulation, and regulations have to be adopted through, Mr. Haberman will be happy to hear this, a public notice process. And so I think that's a good, that was a good thought, and I don't know what the answer is, but I think it's worth a little bit of examination. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, sir, for your input. Councilman Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. my concern is, and I hope the council and management is kind of following along with me on this, is it's I think whatever they offer, and if we can negotiate something, I think that's one thing. My concern is about what happened in the past, and I'd really like to try to uncover that a little bit. You know, because there was that additional retrospective appraisal, to me, if it truly wasn't valued at that amount, then in the past, there was a misuse of public funds that I'm curious to try to uncover. You know, how did that happen? Where was the misstep? You know, is it something that we need to watch for on the next time that we purchase some property? You know, these are things that I'd like to uncover as well, because that if it was part of a negotiation, well, then how did that retrospective appraisal come about? I understand it negotiation because we had made a mistake. I think everybody can agree that we accept that we make mistakes. I mean, it just happens. Fair enough. Then we can show it as a settlement and a value. But this has been looked at as a value, an inflated value, and I'd like to understand that. So I know that this is somewhat cumbersome and kind of problematic, but you know, it's something that I'd like to really try to delve down into a little bit more. I'm okay with going after an appraisal if it, you know, costs us $5,000 for an appraisal, and we can go forward with that. I'm not afraid of you know, spending $5,000 if there's a little bit more to be made. But my concern is truly is that initial number.
Councilman Carrington.
Well, I guess I'm not quite as concerned as Mr. Best as far as to digging into the past. I appreciate this memo. To me, it gives me a fairly good context, a general context that I can put together a little bit of what I think happened in there. But at least for me, is from this point forward, I hope our manager has a pair of thumb screws that he plans to use on contractors that don't follow orders. you know, there's some issues there that I just think are just glaring, that, you know, we should never have gotten this far down the road. You know, we should have, you know, but, and, you know, that was over 10 years ago, but yeah. And I agree. I think the idea of an appraisal, and just, you know, so we know what we're really looking at. I mean, the numbers in here are like a pinball machine. So, you know, having a firm appraisal from our perspective, I think it'd be good.
Okay. Further council comments? Councilman Combs.
So, I mean, I'm agreeing with the majority of what's being said here. So, let me make sure that I've got it straight in my mind. What we'll need is a motion to postpone, and then a motion to authorize an appraisal, and a direction to the manager to delve into the AIP. Are those the three steps that we're all in agreement on? Because I could phrase all that if I have to.
Okay. I think you... Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman. Okay. I don't like the way... I don't know what it is. It's hard to see everybody, so my apologies. Somebody needs to poke me. So
I think you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you. I guess I'm looking at these numbers, and I see the assessed value went up 30% from 2005 to 2015. I see the appraised value went up about 30% from 2005 to 2015. From where I sit, like, I would be shocked if the appraisal shows plus or minus $5,000. Not shocked. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it came back and said $165,000 is the appraised value, and we've just thrown away $5,000 for it. I mean, so I guess I'm not as confident that we'll get a higher number with the appraisal. I don't know that rehashing all this really will inform much. This seems like a really peculiar situation. I agree with Mr. Carrington that we do need to be careful with contractors, and we need to also watch our Palmer property and make sure no one's cutting trees on it, because we can really hit them where it hurts. So I'm sounds like I'm the one dissent, which I'm fine with, but I just wanted to share that.
Further council comments? Okay, what is the council's desire?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman Combs.
I'd like to make a motion to postpone any vote on resolution number 16-027 at this time.
Okay. Okay, is there a second to the motion to postpone resolution 16027?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Councilman Best. Discussion on the postponement. Okay, is there objections to the motion to postpone? Not, then the motion to postpone has been accepted. Is there further action the councilor would request on this? Councilman Combs.
I would like to make a motion to for the city of Palmer to pursue getting an appraisal on this land that is located at 3854 South Glen Highway, so that we have a current appraisal.
Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Councilman Best. I would just, for myself, for discussion up on that, if I remember correctly what the city manager said, the $165,000, it is appraised as residential property. Go ahead, sir.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. So I think if we are going to adopt this resolution regarding the appraisal, we should discuss whether we want the appraisal to be a commercial, since it's frontage on the Glen Highway, or if we want to go head-to-head with an appraisal that would be as residential. So
Madam
Council
Mayor,
have some... Yes, Councilman Bass.
I'd like to have somebody look at the other properties that are in that general area and see if they're going as residential or commercial. I think the reason why it's being discussed in that matter is because there was an unfinished residential structure on the backside. But we all know that there's ex-residential structures in downtown City of Palmer that have businesses in them now. So
sure.
I'd like to have it looked at as whatever the other surrounding properties are. If they're going commercial, then we should also have our success the same manner.
Okay. Councilman Carrington?
I guess I would argue, I think we paid for commercial, so I think we should try to sell as commercial.
Okay. Further comments on type of appraisal? Do you want to make that motion, or does the city manager understand his instructions, or does he want further, does he want some specific instruction from the council?
Madam Mayor, my understanding is that at this point, we'll delay the motion, we'll delay the action.
Right.
I will investigate AIP and how that is being handled with other entities. I'll try to determine what other properties are being assessed as versus commercial versus residential. And then I would like guidance on the appraisal cost, if there's a not to exceed cost that I should be aware of as we pursue this. And then come back to council if it's something exceeds that number.
Okay. Council, do you want to discuss the cost of the appraisal with this motion, or do you want to go ahead and approve the motion for the appraisal and then come back with a second motion for cost?
Well, I think we should put it all in one. And we can amend our motion with the cost. And I do think that there needs to be an upper limit. I mean, we don't want to
spend $5,000 to get to
get 165. So,
yeah.
and you know, I don't know if $5,000 is realistic. I don't know if $7,500 is realistic. You're probably more in line with that, and I think it's probably based on what the appraised value of a piece of property is going to be. So,
go ahead.
The granite property the appraisal for that was $7,400.
And that was as commercial, right? Or was it as residential?
I believe that was as residential. I'd have to go back and check.
Okay. That's a lot for a residential one, seems like to me. But anyway, yeah. Other council comments? So we're rolling the cost of the appraisal in with the motion to proceed with an appraisal, authorize the city manager to, so we do need to come up with an upper limit, either as an amendment to the motion or as instructions to the city manager. So, you guys wanted to do it. No, you got to make some decisions here. Okay.
Madam Mayor.
Yes,
I'd like to amend the motion
okay.
to direct the manager to come back to us if it's more than $8,000
okay.
for this appraisal.
Okay. Is there a second to the amendment to
second.
The motion?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman Fuller? I have to get something to turn my head to. My apologies if I don't recognize you. So the amendment to the motion is that the appraisal cost shall not exceed $8,000. Is there any objections to that amendment? If not, then the amendment goes to the main motion to authorize the city manager to obtain an appraisal. And does the city manager feel he has enough instruction regarding the type of appraisal that he should obtain?
My understanding is that we will pursue a commercial appraisal, as was done in 2005.
Okay. Is there objections to his assumption? Okay. Is there objections to the amended motion on the appraisal authorization? Okay. If not, you have your direction, sir. Okay. Any further action on resolution 16-027? Okay. We will now proceed to action memorandums, and we don't have any, but this might be the last night we don't have any, right? Okay. Unfinished business. Action memorandum number 16-069, confirming the mayor's nomination of Alan Lynn to the Airport Advisory Commission with a term ending October 31st, 2018. Do we have a motion on the floor, or was it just a postponement motion? Postponed motion. So we have to have a motion now to accept, or just a minute, we'll find out from the clerk what we did.
I do have a main motion on the floor, authorize action memorandum 16069 okay. by Hanson DeVries, okay. and then there was a primary amendment to postpone.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor for this confirmation. Is there discussion by any of the council? Councilman Hanson.
Well, I'm glad that we have this opportunity, and Mr. Lynn's in the audience again tonight, and he comes here so often now, maybe we should postpone this one more time. maybe not. No, I'm anxious to get him back
yes.
to work on the airport advisory and
yes.
welcome
yeah.
his service.
Are you saying he doesn't have any other social life except for us? I know, it is good to see him in the audience, isn't it? I'm glad that he's coming back on board. Any objections to the motion for the confirmation? Seeing and hearing none, finally... Okay, the next item on our agenda is new business. This is resolution 16-017, authorizing the city manager to apply for and enter into a water waste system grant agreement with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Utilities Service regarding grant funds for the wastewater treatment plant facility improvements in accordance with current federal consent decree. I am 16-029. The council want staff report, or are you ready for discussion? Staff, okay, go ahead, sir, you're on.
Okay, so thank you, Madam Mayor.
Uh-huh.
So this is a resolution that, there are two parts. The USDA requires public notice that we're applying for a grant, that we intend to apply for a grant. And then the second is to inform you that we are applying for the grant loan program. This is similar to the program we used for the Southwest Utility Extension project that we discussed moments ago for right-of-way acquisition. Similar funds were used for that program. I would recommend that you amend the resolution
okay.
to delete enter into, so the three words, and enter into.
And on what page are you on, sir?
It's on the page 63.
63, and in what paragraph?
The title.
Oh, it's the title? Okay.
And then also in the...
And take out, it, so it'll be to apply for...
A grant.
A.
So, a wastewater grant. So anywhere okay. that and enter into appears, I recommend that that be deleted. And the reason okay. we put that in there initially was because of the similar with the FAA, we applied for the grant, and then with a quick turnaround to get that approved, we thought we would put that into this now. But having reviewed how long the USDA program takes, and then grant assurances being as part of that grant acceptance, to make sure the council has a chance to review before we finally accept funds. So that's the administrative portion. So when you look at the budgeted amounts, those are just estimates for that grant application. That is not what we may or may not get. Those are based on the formulas that they have as we input into the grant, which you have the copy of the application that we applied for. Our intent is to get as much as we can in the grant side and not have to use as much loans as we would have to. Similar to other programs, we also have the $2.5 million from the state to upgrade this project that would be used for matching funds, which may take down our loan numbers as well. So it's a work in progress. So this is not committing those funds. This is just an estimation of how that might break down with the 55-45 grant loan split that's been used in the past. So tonight, I'm just asking for the authority to apply for the grant through the Rural Utility Service Program that the USDA offers, and then we would continue to work through that process and negotiate what the, it's not so much a negotiation as what's offered through that program. So that's kind of where we stand right now, is before we can actually even hit the submit button, I have to have a public notification, which this is, and then also the council approval to actually submit that button, hit the submit button. So that's where we are in this process right now.
Okay. Council comments, questions? Your Honor, I have a question. Do we have any kind of idea what the interest rate might be on this, and what the payments and what the term might be on the loan portion?
The loan payback starts once the project's complete, but that timing is determined on the project. The loan interest rate is comparable to the Clean Water Act fund, and I don't know what that exact number is right now.
We
would have that actually would be part of the grant offer, what the loan rates are
when it comes back to us, right, when we finally formally accept the
yes.
loan.
Currently, this loan is lower than the Clean Water Act fund loans, but they vary as we go through time. But right now, this is the cheapest option. It's also happens to be the quickest option we have to pursue this.
Okay. Now, when the action comes back to us to accept this grant and loan, will we have a public hearing at that, or will that just come under new business and or old unfinished business, or will we have an opportunity for the public to weigh in on this?
It'll come back. So if you remove the enter into, then it'll have to come back.
Right.
If you leave that in there, then it won't. It can come back as an action memorandum where you just accept the grant procedures, or mm-hmm. as we go through our agenda setting process. If you just okay. determine you want to make that a public hearing,
okay.
then we can do that. It's not a requirement right. for a public hearing, but it's that option is available.
Oh, okay. I probably will, then, unless the council has some objections to me doing that in the agenda setting. We will probably ask for a public hearing, at least one on this.
Point of order? Sir.
Yes.
We haven't, that was just a report from the managers.
We have not, we don't have a motion on the floor, is that what
correct.
You're saying?
Yes.
Yes, we do not. Yeah, we do not. Okay. All righty. So after hearing the staff report, is there a motion?
I move to approve resolution number 16017 with modifications to remove and enter into throughout that document, and okay. also with the There was an action memorandum as well.
That's right.
With the same language in it that would also need to be modified.
It's an information memorandum, not an action memorandum.
Yeah, it's an IM.
IM. Right.
Second.
Is there, okay. Councilman Carrington seconds. The motion before you is to accept resolutions number 16-017 with the amendment to remove and enter into in all places within the document, and also to accept the IM 16-029 as modified. Okay. Is comment? Yes, Councilman Hansen.
I just have a question. So this grant, are there other sources of grants that we're going to be pursuing then, other than DEC?
The mayor, other than DEC, we will pursue a direct legislative grant if those are available. So we'll continue to pursue any other funding source we can. And if this comes through the loan, we can potentially, that loan is typically grant matching. So we can do some other grant matching besides taking out a loan. That was what we'd try to pursue.
Okay. Any other council comments? Councilman Hansen, do you still have something you'd like to say? Okay. All righty. Is there any objections to the motion that's on the floor? If not, so the motion has been adopted. Madam Clerk, would you tell us the items that have been placed on the table, please?
One item has been placed on the table tonight, and it was the City Clerk's report.
Okay. And we are now open for audience participation again. If anybody from the audience would like to come and talk to us.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. The public process is done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. A week ago last Monday, I finished attending a trial for several days. It closed. And tomorrow is an expedited matter attending Supreme Court proceedings, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. The case is dealing with the 2016 election. Now, prior to the opening of the trial, I should note that I also attended and I spoke. There was an invitation only by the legislature on the 2016 election primary. What came out of that on the legislative hearing that I attended, and they opened up to public to speak, was most of those who hosted it disappeared when I had an opportunity or any other member of the public to speak. It was a question of whether a valid quorum was there. But the thing is when the Division of Elections was asked this question, how many people were trained? She could not answer that basic question. And what I said later on that in the legislature hearing, reminded them that many of the same people who are election workers in the state election are also many of the same people that are involved in the local elections. The only difference is, basically, is the state's in charge of the state election and the local community's in charge of the local elections. So I should also note, as after I attended that legislative hearing situation, my first stop was at a business, and the son of the business owner, and when I told him about that legislative hearing, he said, well, and he lives in Anchorage, by the way, he says, yeah, I was offered two ballots also. What public's heard is the two ballot people receiving two ballots up there, and that's the key thing that was going on with the state election. But what I figured off that this was not just a problem there, it was happening in other state parts of the state. And for me to stop, the first stop, and the first person I speak to, and a party in Anchorage, the son of a business owner, saying to me, two ballots per person was offered and he didn't accept it. It's a broad situation. And I don't have hope for things to be corrected. And I've been on this for several years. I look at what's happening on the court thing that's going to the Supreme Court as more of a show. And if they were really interested in really addressing the issue, they should have widened it to the entire state and look at what's going on in the entire primary. They did not. They focused in a given area. And if they were really interested on closing comment here, respect the chair to close this last two line.
We'll give you five more seconds.
Two lines.
You just spoke your two lines. Two lines, you said.
Two lines.
It's gone. You did your two lines.
That if they were really serious, as you know, I spent quite a lot of time observing elections. I don't believe there's anyone from the public who's more aware of the election process. And if they really wanted to get a fair review of what's going on, I would have been invited by either the plaintiff or the defendant of that trial. But that did not happen. So here we go again. Thank you very much. Oh, can I compliment the chair for permission to say something?
I guess. We're going to be really casual tonight. Okay, go ahead.
I appreciate you changing the situation where you asked if there's any objection.
Okay,
and the second part on a compliment. You on procedurally, mm-hmm. I was really pleasantly pleased to see how you handled the meeting and from one item to the next. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a little day or two of
compliment
training.
Too.
Thank you. And a day or two of experience and training.
Okay. Madam Mayor.
All righty, we're ready for council.
Madam Mayor.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
May I ask for the indulgence of the council to make a presentation to the city?
Is there any objections? Councilman Combs making a presentation to the city?
Suspend the rules.
Well, can she just do it under council comments? Or
whatever works
best
for you.
Is that okay?
I'm sorry. Whatever works for you at your pleasure.
Yeah, just do it under council comments, and I'll acknowledge you first so you can do whatever you want to do
to
us. I
really appreciate that. I've been waiting, hoping for the appearance from an individual who is a true treasure to the city of Palmer. Her creativity combined with her love for her community has been demonstrated so many times in the past. I received several wonderful communications with this person at late at night as she excitedly decided that she would honor the city of Palmer for having their birthday celebration. So I have felt strongly that that contribution deserves its own very placement here at City Hall. And she wasn't able to be here this evening.
Oh, Barbara.
But as I told the mayor last night when we were talking about whether or not to get more art for the walls, this is
you
a start.
You said you were going to get me some, yeah.
And the other and the other thing is, as I purchased from her the cards that she had made so that the mayor can use them as thank you cards.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Wallace, I presume that you will find an appropriate place to hang that.
And thank you.
You.
Oh, yes. Well, for the audience, please come up and look at these. These were done by a very special lady. Probably all of you know Barbara Hunt. She and I go back probably 30 years ago, I guess, when she worked in the legislature and I served there. And so this is very special for her to do this and use her creativity not only for this instance, but many other instances in the city of Palmer and for the city of Palmer. So, Councilwoman Combs, do you have anything further?
Just a quick acknowledgement, congratulations to Council Member Fuller. I'm sure we're going to have a great time here, and I appreciate, I know I brought a box full of goods last night. I appreciate if everybody will just remember that this is the final week on the pantry push. They'll be picking up at the end of the week. So as usual, you know, I brought my box full of stuff, so I'm challenging everyone else to do it. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Fuller, would you have some comments?
Thanks for the reenactment, and everybody's though on lenience with me being late. My wife got to enjoy watching her team win, and I got to semi-enjoy watching my team lose. But other than that, we had a great time, and I brought back lots of swag to wear when I watch a Steelers game.
So. Well, I'd just like to say also welcome to the right side of the table. And look forward to a great year. Thank you.
Councilman Carrington. Or...
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Deputy Mayor Carrington, sorry.
Lieutenant Alternate something.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
I want to say congratulations to Councilman Fuller. Welcome aboard. Mm-hmm. And kudos to the clerk on the election. I mean, the only parts I experienced was voting. And then my son and I did come to the canvas meeting, and fortunately I let him bring his computer because 3.5 hours later he was plugged into the wall still playing games. But it was very thorough, and, you know, I've got to commend her. That was very good for a first attempt. And then thanks to the deputy mayor for acquiring art and cards, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Councilman.
Thank you. Yeah, well, welcome, Councilman Fuller. It's a pleasure to serve with you, and I also compliment the mayor on her ability to run an efficient meeting, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
One of the things that struck me from our discussion with Governor Parnell, and I've been thinking a lot about it, is that on the one hand, we're welcoming new businesses to the city, and on the other hand, we are introducing inefficiencies into their workflow by having them do their taxes on paper. And I know we have this issue across the city where building permits, for instance, you have to go down and submit it on paper. Mm-hmm. And I really think we should give a hard look at respecting the businesses that choose to come to Palmer by ensuring that we're being as efficient as possible. And I think the assumption now is that everything is online. And so I would ask that as a city, we take a good hard look at what it would take to get us there, because I think we should be there.
Good points, good points. Councilman Best.
Well, again, another election year and a new face on city council. So for those folks who were trying to drive down the point of term limits, you know, and the, this is another situation where we have a new face on city council. So, again, the process is working. Nothing needs to change. We're all good.
Yeah, in fact, there are three of us that are in our first term. My first term as mayor, and Councilman LaFrance's first term, although he's in his second year. But, and, of course, Councilman Fuller, and welcome, Councilman Fuller. And I agree with, and maybe I, of course, haven't seen the budget, but I hope in the budget that the city manager has put forth some monies to do whatever we need to do to do the things that Councilman LaFrance mentioned, and that we've been sitting talking around this table for a long time, so... Is there any further questions, comments, actions that the council has? And our next meeting is next Tuesday night, right at 6 o'clock. Everyone's welcome to come. We'll be presenting the budget. And the first item on the budget is going to be the airport, I guess, isn't it? So with that, thank you for coming, and we'll see you.